God's always moving. I just want to be a part of his move. Hallelujah. Romans chapter 13, we'll begin at verse number 11. Paul is writing to the Roman church, and he says, "And that, knowing the time, that now is high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed." God knows where we're at. And he says in verse number 12, "The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light." The armor of light. I want to preach to you this morning entitled, "Wake Up." Wake up. Father, in the name of Jesus, the matchless name, Lord God, when we begin to open up the scriptures and dive in, Lord God, in exegesis, we want to bring out what you wanted to say to us. And you anointed Paul, Lord God, to pen this letter to the Roman church. And you wanted them, Lord God, to wake up because you are coming soon. And Lord God, the far, oh God, opportunity that we are in right now is a time to recognize that you are about to come back for a church that is ready, that is alert, that is observing that the time is at hand and the day is near. And so we need you to convict us. We need you, oh God, to wake us up. We need you, oh God, to cause us to be alert in this hour. Shake us from our sleep, I pray, God. Because if we wake up, God, we'll be motivated to do what you want us to do. And that is to walk in the light as you are in the light. And God, we cannot do this without you. We depend and we covet your anointing right now. Speak your word to us in Jesus' name. Why don't you clap your hands as you're seated this morning. Rip Van Winkle is a short story by the American author Washington Irving. It was first published in 1819, and it follows a Dutch-American villager in colonial America named Rip Van Winkle, who falls asleep in the Catskill Mountains, and then he wakes up 20 years later. The story is so interesting because here lies a man who is sleeping all of this time. But the issue is not that he just fell asleep. The issue is not that he just fell asleep for 20 years. The true issue is the timing of when he fell asleep. Rip Van Winkle goes to sleep with King George as the ruler of that nation. But when he wakes up, George Washington is in charge. Rip Van Winkle slept through and missed the American Revolution. In the scripture I'm about to read to you, we find someone else who missed something so huge. In Luke chapter 16, verse 20, and follow me as I read through the passage of this text. It says, "And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried, and in hell did lift up his eyes." Praise God. "Being in torment, and seeing Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, 'Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue. For I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy life receivest the good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And beside all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot come, neither can they pass to us that would come from there. Then he said, I pray thee, therefore, if I cannot come where you are, if you not come where I am and dip his finger in water and touch my tongue, that thou wouldest send him then to my father's house. For I have five brethren, that they may testify unto them, lest they also come into this torment. And Abraham said unto him, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, Nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said this, and this is what is so sobering, and what Abraham responds. He says, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. This is a very sobering scripture. And when I say sobering, I mean it from the perspective that they are scriptures that need to be scriptures that we look at with grave honesty and awareness, because it is easy to overlook scriptures and passages like this and not really take them seriously. Sometimes you can come to the house of God and hear a preacher begin to preach hell, fire, and brimstone, and many people in this hour would shut out a preacher who would preach from a passage such as this, and people can be like Rip Van Winkle and simply just fall asleep when there is a calling from God trying to alert us and trying to wake us up. Now understand, my thought comes from a true heart of cautiousness. I feel as a pastor, there are scriptures in the word of the Lord that have to get our attention. They have to keep us awakened and keep our heart alert, because we do not know the day nor the hour when the Lord, the Son of Man, is going to return. And when he comes back, he is looking for a ready church. He is looking for a ready, awake, and alert group of people that are saying, come quickly, Lord Jesus, come quickly. And there are plenty of scriptures that reference back to prophetic utterances, one being in Isaiah chapter 6, verse 10. He says in verse 9, first of all, and he said, go and tell this people, hear ye indeed, but understand not, and see indeed, but perceive not. Make the heart of this people fat, and make their ears heavy, and shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their hearts, and convert, and be healed. He is using, if you don't understand, actual sarcasm here in this literary text. He's telling them, I don't really want them to understand. I don't really want them to listen. You say, why in the world would God say such a thing, that he wants people's eyes, praise God, not to see, nor their ears to understand? But that's why he speaks in parables, because he only wants those that are really hungry to understand. He only wants those that really understand that he is trying to pull at them. And so in the New Testament, he speaks the parables over and over again. And even in his parables, they ask him, why do you speak in parables? And he goes back and he uses that scripture from Isaiah chapter 6, verse 9 through 11. He's saying, it is a travesty that people can be present with me, the crowd can be present with me, and they look like they are listening to me, but everyone that is present and everyone that is hearing does not necessarily mean they are listening. God always has to sound alarms throughout history. Alarm sounders are important. Alarms are meant to awaken you. Did anyone use an alarm clock today because you did not realize how long you were sleeping? So you needed something to engage yourself, to get up out of your stupor and get out of your sleep and be awakened. And the Lord has done it throughout history. We see that He sees the wicked people on earth. And then He calls a man, a righteous man, to go and build an ark. The ark represented salvation. The ark represented a future. The ark represented a sparing from the judgment and destruction that was absolutely going to take place by God's hand and God's judgment. But before He sent the judgment call, He sent an alarm clock named Noah. And Noah, the Bible says in the New Testament, Hebrews chapter 7:11 verse 7, by faith Noah, being warned of God of things not yet as seen, there were things they had never seen before, but Noah came and said, I'm preaching that something is about to happen that you have never seen before. And he did it, and he was moved with fear, and he prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by which he condemned the world and became the heir of the righteousness which is by faith. It is very important that God was giving a warning, which He always does. It says He was moved with fear. He did not move because He was scared that God was going to strike Him down with lightning. It was a reverence or respect for the God who was sovereign, who was in control, and who had all power in His hand. And that's what needs to motivate us. The same thing that motivated Noah. God, I respect You. I respect Your word. And if you're trying to keep me from evil, and if you're trying to keep me from suffering, and if you're trying to keep me from Your judgment hand and sending a flood, I'm motivated to build an ark. I'm motivated to build a vessel. And this church in this hour is the ark. It is the vessel. It is the tool for the saving of our household. When you're in the church, you are protected from God's judgment that is coming. But here's the problem. At the same time, it is very, very, very hard to motivate people that do not have a respect for God and a reverent fear of God and the power He has to save and to kill. But it's hard to motivate people that don't have a respect for God. We see in 1 Peter 3, verse 20, which sometime were disobedient, when once the long suffering of God waited in the days of Noah. It wasn't God saying, hey, Noah, build the ark. And the next day he built the ark and the flood came. The Bible makes it clear that he said 120 years. And some people misinterpret that to mean that no one can live past 120 years. Well, people since that time and people today still live past 120 years. You know what that 120 years was? It wasn't the time that it took Noah to actually build a boat. It was the time that Noah was preaching day in and day out. While he had a hammer in one hand, he had a microphone in the other hand saying, repent, there's a flood coming. I'm sounding the alarm. I'm trying to wake you up. God's going to judge the world. And he preached for 120 years. Why in the world did he preach so long? The Bible says it was God who was waiting for souls to come and repent. But the tragedy is, only 8 souls were saved by water. Do not look at me and tell me that God is not a loving God. The problem with people today is not that God is not a loving God and God's too loving to send people to a place they don't want to go. God right now is calling. God right now is preparing. God right now is drawing. God right now is trying to get someone's attention. We're not raptured yet. We're not called out yet. So that's the mercy of God. Don't tell me that God is not a God of love or a God of mercy. His mercy is happening literally right now. But the problem was, even His mercy, only 8 people made it.
Only 8 people made it. And I know what Christendom wants to tell us, that everybody who believes anything will make it. But I see here that he says that broad is the way that leads to damnation. Narrow is the way. Now, that's not a thing because we're trying to put people in hell. Quite the contrary. We're preaching as hard as we can because we see what God says. And right now, we're saying now is the time to awake out of your sleep. And it's of the love and the mercy and the free salvation that God has to give for us. This is our time to take advantage of the grace of God. He says he spared not the old world, but save Noah, the 8th person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing the flood upon the world of the ungodly. Who are the ungodly? Those that rejected the mercy of God. Could have been a lot of good people that died, but they rejected the love of God. The long-suffering of God. The Bible says that as history continued, God is sounding alarms, and he sent a forerunner whose name was John the Baptist. Jesus says of him, "For I say unto you, among those that are born of women, there is not a greater prophet than John the Baptist." Why was John the Baptist sent? To prepare the way of the Lord, to make his path straight. A voice crying out in the wilderness. Can you imagine him out there eating locusts and wild honey? And he's crying out, "Jesus, the Savior, the Messiah is coming, whose shoes I'm unworthy to loose. He will baptize you with Holy Ghost and with fire." What was he doing? He was sounding an alarm. He was sent by God through a miraculous birth, preaching, "Repent, the kingdom of God is at hand," preparing the hearts, the minds of people to receive what God was getting ready to do. Preparing the hearts for the miraculous that was going to take place, the deliverance that was going to happen, and the Holy Ghost to be received. He was preparing the way of Jesus. And it was not a matter if they believed in God. The majority of people believe in God. The Bible says, so do the devils. The message is not about simply or only believing. It was about believing and repenting to be ready for the kingdom of God. But you will miss the kingdom of God unfolding if you don't repent. And yet, in John the Baptist's time, they still rejected Jesus. They heard, but they weren't listening. Now in current history, we are awakened and we're finding how vulnerable we are. The churches are only a quarter filled, and majority of churches right now are empty. And because we are vulnerable to the wishes of the government, even in the middle of it, them trying to protect us. And I am not being sarcastic. Please do not misinterpret what I'm saying. I am not saying the government should not have been proactive in the situation. In fact, I commend what they have done. But all I'm saying is that when the government sets its mind on something that involves fear, as individuals, we can be very limited and isolated in our freedoms. And I pray that the immediate result of what's going to happen right now, that we find out even in the middle of our isolation, we realize that it's just only pointing us that the time is drawing to a close and Jesus is getting ready for a church. The world is looking for answers. The world is looking for peace. The world is looking for a Savior. A world is looking for protection, and that world that they're looking for will usher in this great person who will be the Antichrist, because he will set things in order, he will make things right in a natural sense. And so, guess what the church has to do? We gotta wake up, we have to arise, we have to say, "Lord, I'm ready for your return." He's sounding alarms. Are you awake? So as we look at our scripture in Luke The rich man, the Bible says, was in hell where he was in torment. The Bible says in Revelation 20, verse 10, and the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone where the beast and the prophets, false prophet are and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. The Bible says in Mark 9, 44, where their worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. Let me tell somebody, there was a story, praise God, back in the 1800s, and there was a preacher who was very flamboyant, and he was able to preach the word of God, but no one would repent, because it was all so, but there was a humble servant who, when he spoke and when he preached, people would flood to the altars, and they asked him, what is the difference? They said, he's preaching, praise God, out of a true conviction and belief that there is a hell. The church has to preach, not hell. That people are going to hell, but the priest say, I want to get you out of hell. There got to be people that say, I don't want you to lost and be dying there with the worm that not. The church must say, we're going to pull them out of fire. It shall cast into a furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. It is a horrible place for anyone to be in. But where we find the rich man, he could see. That means it did not matter whether or not you are blind on this earth, in the natural blind, but in the spiritual, in hell, you will be able to look at all your mistakes. You will be able to see how you turned your back on the word of God. Maybe you were hearing it, but you weren't listening to it. How you rejected the warnings and the alarms that were sounded. You will be able to see with your eyes all the times you rolled your eyes and said, it's not that big of a deal. And then he sees Abraham, which means there's memory there. You remember all the times you had a chance to do right. You remember all the times you were warned by maybe somebody in your family, maybe somebody behind the pulpit. Of course, the scriptures. You will have a memory of all the prayer meetings you were a part of, all the services that you were in, all the opportunities you had to pray through and make things right with God, who wanted to wash you, who wanted to cleanse you, because the message is never a message of condemnation. It's a message of God saying to you, I'm still calling you. I don't care where you've been, what you've done, how far you've been away. Me saying, this is the time, let my blood do what it can do. Let me put on you the robe of righteousness. But there will be some that will see it and they will remember how they said, no, I don't want it. I won't take it seriously. I hear it, but I'm not listening. I'm going to keep on living my life and keep on making excuses. And the Bible says his thirst was never quenched. Send Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in water. Cool my tongue. But this can't be real. Some people are saying right now, this can't be true. Are you willing to trust your logic and your analytical mind over the word of God? How dare any of us try to use analytics or logic to risk someone being in this place? Hey, I'm not ready to take that chance. Hey, I'm not ready to risk it. I'm ready to say, Lord, cleanse me. Make me right in your sight. God, plead the blood of Jesus. And there will be a great chasm. That means you are separated from the Lord forever. And you will dwell where the wicked dwell. Okay, fine. If there's no hope for me, the rich man stated, then go tell my brothers who are still alive. Go tell those that are not here quite yet. Tell them to listen to the preacher. Go warn them. Tell them so they don't have to end up here in this place of torment. But Abraham said, hey, they've already been warned. But wait a minute, Abraham, hold on a second. If someone came from the dead, surely at that point, they truly would make a change. I know if someone came from the dead, they'll repent. But this is what this message is about. What Abraham said. Abraham said, no. Unfortunately not, rich man. Even if someone comes out of the grave, they're not going to change their ways. They're going to be stubborn. They will hear, but they're not going to listen. They will say it's not real. They'll make up some excuse. They'll come up with some shenanigan. Why? They won't get right with God. When God wants them to be right, He says, if they won't listen to Moses and the prophets and the preachers of the current time, nothing will change them. If they can't see right now, in real time, what's happening to our world, and they still won't get right, they're not going to get right. My fear, not just as a preacher, but as a Christian, is that so many people are in that place right now. Nothing moves them. Nothing stirs them. Nothing is causing them to recognize the frailness and the fragility of our lives, to humble ourselves before the presence of Almighty God who wants to make us right. Knowing high time! It's time to wake out of sleep. For now is our salvation near, and we first believe. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us cast off the works of darkness. Are you satisfied with your sin? Are you satisfied with your lifestyle? Are you satisfied with the same old cycle that you have been in? He's saying, no, cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. And you can't put on that armor of light without understanding it is the blood of Jesus that wants to cleanse you. It's not of your own righteousness or your own goodness. It's you saying, Lord, I know I am a sinner and I have problems and I have issues and I have struggles. But Lord, help me. I wish somebody would raise their hand right now and just say that. We all have certain works of darkness upon us. But we got to say, I won't live in this darkness. I will allow the Lord Jesus Christ to light up my life and to bring a change. I don't want to be asleep. I don't want to hear and not listen. I'm listening, Lord. Wake up. Wake up. Wake up. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. What are you letting shine? That I am the righteousness of God through faith. That by faith, I'm walking with Him. And by faith, I'm trusting in Him. And by faith, I refuse to reject the love that's calling for me right now. I simply say yes to His love to be rapture ready. The church, if we believe, then we have to spread the gospel. If you're saying, I'm doing right with God, then my next statement to the church and those that are all right and you're okay, what are you doing there to spread this gospel? What are you doing to spread the light? What are you doing to warn and to be alarmed for somebody else? The church, this is our time to pray, to intercede, to exercise our power and authority. If you have an evil spirit, we can cast it out in the name of Jesus. And maybe right now you're feeling so much conviction. Maybe right now you're torn right now. You're squirming right now. You're uneasy. Let me tell you, that's a conviction. And that's a loving thing that God can do. Because He says, I'm not going to convict you. But I'll also allow Him, my blood, to cleanse you as well. And to be a fresh start. He says in Acts chapter 3, verse 19, repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out. when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. You know what he's saying? When you repent and you make things right with God, there will be a refreshing that comes over you. There will be a weight that falls off of you. All of your sins will be behind you. Come on, somebody understand. When I preach this word, it's a message of hope. God does not want to leave you with all that brokenness and all that heaviness and all that guilt. He wants to set you free today. He wants to let you know, I have a new name for you. I have a name that will change everything about you. And no matter what you've done, I'm calling you right now, and I'm drawing you right now. My grace is sufficient for you. Where sin doth abound, grace doth much more abound. What am I saying? There's nobody on the sound of my voice that's too far from the mercy of God. There's nothing you have done that allowed God to say no to you. In fact, on the contrary, he said, you're exactly the one I died for, the one that's messed up and lost and hurting and backslidden. That's the one he died for. The sick are the ones that need a physician. The physician is in the house. The healer is in the house. The Savior is in the house. I said he's here right now to wash you. He's here right now to help you and to cleanse you from everything. He will blot out your sins. He went to Nicodemus. He says, you just got to be born again. It's all right. To be born again, how? Of the water and of the Spirit. And when Peter finally stood up to preach the message, he says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are far off, even watch who initiates it. As many as the Lord our God shall call. If you're hearing this message, that's you. If you're hearing this message, he's calling you. If you're hearing this message, it's not too late. If you're hearing this message, the ark is still being built. The flood is not here yet. If you're hearing this message, you can make things right with God. Why don't you stand on your feet, those that are in the house of God? If you're at home right now, why don't you just slip up your hands and say, Lord, it's not too late for me. God, I'm awake. God, I repent. It's all right to repent. Don't let anyone tell you you should not repent. No, humble yourself before God, because God will exalt you. God will lift you up. God will take you by the hand, like we talked about in song service, and he will lift you up to walk in a new life today. As something plays softly in the background, I'm pulling for somebody right now that feels so far from God. I'm pulling for someone right now. The devil's lied to you and told you it's too late. I'm telling you, no, it's not. I'm pulling for somebody right now. You've been walking, praise God, and straddling the fence, and you have not made up in your mind yet that you're going to give everything to God. I tell you, today is your day to wake up, because his love and his mercy is right here to cleanse you and give you a fresh start so you can walk in the joy and the peace that he wants you to have. But not only is it for you, that you can put on the armor of light and let somebody else see that light and that joy inside of you, because what you got, they need. What you got, demon, they need. What you got inside of you, they need. And you got to wait and say, it's my time to put up the work of darkness so that I can be all that God has called me to be. God has called every one of us for that purpose, so that there will be no rich man in hell that could say, I didn't know. No, you're going to know from this church. Come on, somebody. You're going to know from Lighthouse Church. We are going to be a lighthouse. We are going to be a city on a hill that cannot be hid. We will kill. We will work. We will do whatever it is while it is day. The church must arise and walk. One more time, raise your hands, and we're going to pray a specific prayer. Lord, wake me up. I'm tired of straddling the fence. I'm tired of letting condemnation overcome me. I'm tired of walking in darkness. I want to walk in the light. I am called. Come on, say it. I am called. I am chosen The hand of God is on my life. And His mercy and His grace is for me. It's not over yet. His blood is still covering us right now. Somebody let the blood of Jesus cover you. Come on, somebody let the blood of Jesus cover you. Somebody recognize that He's going to wash you right now. He's going to refresh you right now. Come on, today is your day of restoration. Today is your day of healing. Today is your day of making things right with God. You are not too far away from Him. Wake up and say, yes, I receive the love of God. Wake up. Wake up. And now wherever you are, we know it's not the same as we're used to, but it's still the same God. Wherever you are in the congregation and wherever you are in your home, this is your time to receive the love of God. His love that tells you, I'm not going to let you go. All you got to do is say yes to me. Just find a place, a secret place of just talking to your God. Let Him equip you and stir you and wash you and prepare you for the work that He does have for you. And maybe today you've not yet turned your life over to God. Maybe today you never repented. Maybe today you never felt conviction, but today you feel the conviction power of God. I challenge you to find a place and say, Lord Jesus, forgive me of my sins. I'm asking you to my heart and to my life to be the Lord of my life, and I surrender to you. And I'll read your word, and I'll learn, and I'll grow. But I want to be born again. And the Bible tells us that when you're baptized in His name, all your sins are washed away. So God, we put our faith in you, and now we want to take on your name. So if you've ever been baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, according to Scripture, according to Acts 2, Acts 8, Acts 10, Acts 19, or according to Colossians, that whatever we do in word or in deed, do all in the name of the Lord. That today is a great day for you. You can be baptized in Jesus' name and be the Holy Ghost. The Spirit of God can come inside of your heart, inside of your body, and He'll fill you with His Spirit. In His face. I pray for everyone right now, God, that they would hear this message, but it won't be something they just hear. It will wake up. Wake up, fathers. Wake up, mothers. Wake up, oh God, singles. Wake up, everybody. Wake up the youth. Wake up, oh God, this generation. Let us know, God, we're coming soon. But it's not there to bring fear. It's there for us to get ready and to work and to labor and to do all we can to be a part of the kingdom of God. For the kingdom of God is at hand. And that, God, through that, you would anoint, you would lead, you would guide every heart to walk in the light as you are in the light. Bind the hand of the enemy that will try to lie to them right now. Let them know that today is a new day to walk with you. A new day to commit with you. A new day, oh God, that you made available by withholding your judgment. So God, we're awake. God, we're awake. God, we're awake. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.